I want to turn with you this morning to Genesis and chapter 12. And I want to speak about Abraham, Abraham, the man of faith. Now, we know how important faith is. In Hebrews, which Andrew read at the very beginning of the service from Hebrews 1, in Hebrews 11 you have the great chapter of faith, and it talks about without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus also said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, Jesus wasn't saying he wouldn't find faith. He was just asking the question. And what he was saying was simply this. The pressures, the evil, the trials, the troubles, all of the things going on in the world, it may well cause many to lose their faith. And many will stop believing and trusting God when they see all these awful things happening. But God is looking for us to be faithful despite what's happening in our world, whether it's our world in the general sense or whether it's in our specific world. We know people needing operations are waiting ages to have them at the moment. And we also know that there are parts of our country where the police are somewhat troubled to go because of Shahara law being operated, even in some of the cities and areas of England today. And so for many, the love of many, Jesus said, will grow cold. But let's just remind ourselves of the importance of faith, what it means to have faith in God, and to encourage one another to keep believing in these days. We know when bad things happen that sometimes things can go one of two ways. Either people say something like, well, if God's allowed that, I don't want to know him anymore. That's very sad. We don't condemn, we understand some people facing certain things, that is how they react. But then there are others who turn to God and discover him as a strength and help in times of trouble in a very wonderful way. There's a man in the church back home in Lansing called Alan, and he's had a pretty tough life one way or another, but he was recently diagnosed with cancer. And his faith has grown. His trust in God has developed enormously as he's looked to God in this difficult time. And very recently, he did go home to the Lord. Well, there's lots of things happening. I do want to talk to you tonight about what happened in Arusha. I don't know if you heard the YWAM team that were wiped out in a car crash. I want to share with you a bit about that. I also want to share with you a little bit about a man in Sierra Leone called Pastor Sula. And Sula? Sally, thank you. My wife is brilliant at interpretation. She could even be my interpreter. I do speak English just about. Anyway, right. Is someone trying to... Oh, the meeting has ended, 40 minutes idle time. Okay, that's not a hint to me. I think I still have a few minutes. But there we go. So, Genesis chapter 12, let's read it. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. I'll just pray. Father, help us as we reflect again on your word. I pray that you will help me to honor you. I pray you will help us in our listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I think one of the things about steps of faith, giant steps sometimes, smaller steps in other situations, but any step of faith is God putting something into our hearts that we might respond, that we might obey him, and that something new is going to develop. Now we know that something new with Abraham was massive. It was going to talk about bringing a nation, the Jewish nation, into existence. It was talking about a nation that would give birth to the Messiah, to Christ. He would be born into that nation, Israel. And we know through Jesus, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So it was massive what was behind Abraham stepping out and leaving Ur of the Chaldees and going into Canaan. But although we see that that was big and bigger than the average step, as it were, nevertheless, a step of faith is always going to bring us into a new dimension. Spiritual dimension, sometimes a physical dimension. For some people, when they become a Christian, it means perhaps a change of location geographically. Certainly, it will have implications for our family life, for our work, and lots of things that connect to us. When you make a step of faith, God is going to open new doors in one way or another. And I can certainly look back when I became a Christian at the age of 13, living in a little humble home with my mum and dad and brother. I had no idea that putting my trust in Christ would lead me, in actual fact, to go to many, many nations. I didn't know that. I didn't look for that. I can say in some ways I didn't really want that. Because some of the implications were less, I've eaten things that you wouldn't even want me to describe to you. But unlike what my lunch will be today, I'm assured. But my point is this, there are steps, and whoever we are, things change. When Elaine became a Christian, again, life changed dramatically because she met me and became my wife, best decision I ever made as a Christian, having received Jesus. But things change. So the Lord speaks to Abraham, or Abram, as he was called up until Genesis chapter 17. But God speaks to him, and it is going to involve a radical change of life for him. Go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. And always there is a leaving behind. You know, when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw James and John fishing, and he called them, well, they were mending their nets. And when he called them, they were going to have to make a big change. They were going to have to leave their fishing as their principal source of supply, and they were going to follow Jesus. The same with Matthew. He was collecting taxes, probably fairly well off in terms of the day. But when he gave his life to Jesus, when Jesus said, "Come and follow me," and he said, "Yes, I'll follow you," it was a great step of faith because he wasn't collecting taxes anymore. And therefore, his source of income dried up. When Simon the Zealot, he decided that he would follow Jesus, well, he left a terrorist group. In the day language of the time, they would have been like Hezbollah and some of the other terrorist groups, Hamas and all the ones you can mention today. The zealots were zealots, and they were cruel zealots. They weren't nice, friendly zealots. They made plans. They would kidnap Roman soldiers and kill them, and they would make all sorts of destructive plans. But we can be confident when Simon, who was a zealot, left being a zealot to follow Jesus, it was a radical change of life. He was not going to be doing what he had been doing. Things were going to be very different. And for us, steps of faith will involve changes. There will be things that we need to leave. Now, I can't really interpret that for you because it is an individual thing. We're all called to leave things behind to put Jesus first and follow him, but I can't tell you how that will work out for you. I've already showed you how for Matthew had to leave his tax collecting and Simon had to leave his zealot role, and so we go on. They had to leave something in order to trust God and follow him. And I would believe God would show you individually. There may be things that you've got to leave and put aside in order to follow Jesus more closely. It could be a lifestyle, it could be a behavior pattern that has been with you for years. But if you're making now a new step of faith, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to obey him. Who knows what that may mean? But whoever we are, young or old, whoever we are, a step of faith will mean something has to go in order to do what God is calling us to do. It may have economic repercussions, it may have political repercussions, it may have other challenges in different ways. But to follow God will always mean leaving something in order to gain something far better. And of course, this is again a picture of repentance, because that's what repentance is, isn't it? Repentance is saying, I leave behind the way I used to be. When you become a Christian, you repent of your sins. And yes, there may be great sorrow, there could be weeping when we face up to things that we've done that are really wrong and we are going to leave them behind. But it doesn't have to be necessarily expressed in emotion. It can simply be a decision which says, I agree with God. I used to think it was fine. I didn't see a problem with this or that behavior, or doing this, doing that, watching this, watching that. It didn't seem to matter. But now God is calling me, and now it does matter. And so I agree with God. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to read this thing anymore. I'm not going to watch these things anymore, because now I am going God's way. So there was the leaving. But then there was also the embracing of the promise that God was going to give him. Now for Abraham, as we've said, it is a massive promise. Abraham is told that God's going to make of him the great nation. We mentioned that earlier, the great nation of the Jews. He would be the father of a new nation. And God was going to use him to do that. And we know that Sarah was barren, couldn't have children. They hadn't had children. When he sets out, it says he was 75. Well, for most people, that would be a bit old to start a family. But it's not about the age, it's about what God has said. And again, that's very encouraging. I don't know how many of you are 75 and over. I'm not going to ask, don't worry. But my point is this. Even in old age, there can be challenges. There can be things that God will say to us. I know in those times, quite near to the fall, it does seem that people lived longer in the world generally than they do today. And we know God put a cap. I don't get into the budget this week, where there's going to be caps, tax cuts, whatever. But God put a cap, and he said 70, or maybe 80. And in actual fact, that's not unreasonable from the point of view that when we think how wonderfully our bodies work, it is amazing that they work that long. So much as people want to live forever, as it were, and get the telegram now from the king, that really, we do have to understand God has done something for our good. You know, I have a friend who's in his 80s, and he said, since I've become 80, I've had more ill health than I had for the rest of my life. And I think there's something in that, that we are designed to handle life for so long. And sometimes when it goes beyond that, life isn't very great anymore physically, because people are finding limitations. And if they go into hospital, they may have something cured, but it means there are other disadvantages. People take drugs, and the drug seems to solve this problem, but sadly it seems to create all these problems. I think that we need to be grateful that there is, in the economy of God, he knows our bodies, and so when they reach a certain point, well, they will begin to suffer. But in Christ, we can fulfill his plan until our very last breath. Whenever that is, however old that is, whether you are blessed to have health into 80s, 90s, even 100, well, praise the Lord, what we see with Abraham is when he's an old person, certainly in our terms, even if it wasn't quite in the terms of his day, but when Abraham was an old person, God was giving him a promise to embrace. What is the promise that we have to embrace? Well, the promise surely that God has given to us is that he has given us an inheritance that will not fade, that will not spoil, that will not ever be corrupted. In our hearts, in our spirit, God has given us the promise of eternal life. And the great privilege that we have is that when we share the gospel, when we see someone won to Christ, through our testimony, through our witness, through the life of this fellowship, that is a work for eternity. When someone comes to Christ, you haven't just brought them to Christ for a few years, even 70. When you bring someone to Christ, they are on a road that will eventually lead to eternity, to be in heaven. No sickness, no pain, no suffering, no disease, no darkness, no evil, no temptation. All of that gone in the presence of the living God. And we rejoice in that. Abraham was blessed. God was going to use his obedience to bless an immediate nation, and as we've said, the wider nations. And God has called us as his people to share him. So Jesus said, go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, you begin in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And our witness is significant. It is so wonderful, and sometimes it's hard to really grasp this, but it's possible that someone could come into this meeting and they live in another country and they're going to be going back to that country. They come here in New Farm Chapel and they find Jesus as their saviour, and they go back to that country and begin to witness to people who this side of heaven you'll never meet. That is the power of the gospel. Sometimes you have people who are among you and all churches experience this to some degree. People who come and they seem to be part of the fellowship and you're great to have them, and then they move and they go to another part of the country. But nevertheless, the deposit that they received when they were with you in this place is something that will equip them to be God's servant wherever it is they've gone. So there is nothing wasted. You are a blessing. Did you know that? I won't get too American on you, but you are a blessing. You could say we are a blessing, but you probably won't. But my point is this, you are a blessing. You're a blessing to us, to Elaine and I, you're a blessing. We really appreciate your fellowship, and wherever you're able to stand with us, we're immensely grateful. We are a blessing, even as Abraham was a blessing. Going to come to an end fairly soon. He eventually makes the journey to Canaan. It says they set out to the land of Canaan and they arrived there. One of the things that's very true about the Bible is how one verse follows another verse, and the distance between the verses seems hardly anything. And yet, in terms of time and history, sometimes a verse moving to another verse can be a big, big difference. Do you know how far it was that Abraham travelled when he left Ur of the Chaldees and ended up eventually in Canaan? Well, one source I researched said it was about 3,000 miles. That's an awful long way. An aeroplane will take you a few hours to do 3,000 miles. By road, it would take quite a long time. Walking would take an immense amount of time. Goodness knows how long it took him to leave Ur and to arrive in Canaan. But it was a long journey. And remember, he may have had a few camels, but he certainly didn't have a taxi, and he certainly didn't have any motor-propelled petrol or diesel or whatever. It was a long, long journey. And the point about that is this: by the grace of God, we may well have a long journey in life. Not contradicting what I said earlier, but we may have a long journey in life. We have to keep going. We have to keep going. We must not give up. Abraham could have given up. I imagine that there were a few desert storms on his journey. I have been to Israel, and I have been to the area where they reckoned he set up his tent and things began and so on. And in this particular place, it's a bit touristy. They have somebody, they have an Abraham and Sarah to greet you and give you a drink or what have you. I think you just about survive. But the real point is this: it's a journey. The journey is sometimes hard going. Sometimes there are setbacks, sometimes there are disappointments. Sometimes things don't work out very well. But our faith grows by saying, Lord, you said. When Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, and some of his father's relatives and family, what have you, you know, they would have said, what are you up to? You know, who do you think you are? Where are you going? And Abraham said, well, I don't really know. I'm just going to trust God. He overcame perhaps criticism, people being very suspicious and asking lots of questions. Weather, journey, travel, rain, storm, it would have been quite a journey, but he kept going and he arrives in Canaan. And here, I'm sorry, I did a typical preacher's thing. I said I had my last point. I have one more point. And it's this. He built an altar. Do you notice that in our reading? He built an altar. What's that all about? Our faith grows by hearing from God. Our faith grows by obeying what God says. Our faith grows by being willing to leave behind things that God is saying, that's not for you anymore, you've got to move in this direction. Our faith grows by holding on to the promise. He has promised us eternal life, and he has promised that as we witness to others, they too will have eternal life. And he built an altar. And I believe that was simply, it was like a drawing a line. You know, when Jesus got baptized, it drew a line between living at Nazareth with Joseph and Mary and the younger family. He was now moving into a different dimension of ministry. When you get married, the Bible says a man will leave his father and mother and forsake them to be joined to his wife. It's a drawing of a line. It's a demarcation line. And there are other times. Your children grow up. The empty nest. You used to have your house full of kids, and now there's no one in sight. Or maybe just the grandchildren in the background. But things change. And I believe when he built the altar, he was saying, Lord, you called me, I obeyed you, I've made the journey, I'm where you've called me to be at this moment of time. I worship you, I praise you, you've brought me safe thus far, and whatever you've still got ahead, I'm willing to follow you. So may God help us to indeed follow him. Amen. I didn't choose, did you choose her?